The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Romans 12:9-11. Let's read together. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, when you read this scripture, it's interesting because for me, the way I look at it is that the end is love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. But I think it's based on how you operate with the first statements that were said there. It says, don't just pretend. So it's possible for me to pretend to love you. You understand? Especially when we're in an environment like this. If you have been used to what you do in church, you wake up, you come to church, the first thing you do is to greet people, dance, then the word comes, and then offering. You get used to it that you probably know the skill set on how to run around church. So you can be smiling to somebody. Oh, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. God punish you. And I love you with in your heart. You understand? So what he's simply saying here is, let your heart be the same with your mouth. You know, there's a scripture that I love most. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or imagine. So if you're going to honor people, your heart and your mouth or what you're doing should be saying the same thing. So I just want us to have that as an introduction. The second scripture there is John chapter 3, verse 16. And this will help you understand the first scripture that I just put in. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the height of honor. In fact, the foundation for which you can honor any person is love. It pushes you to do things that you ordinarily won't do. So when we talk about honor, for me, is really based on sacrifice. Are you willing to take up and do certain things that on a normal day you would not do? Honor pushes you beyond your normal boundaries, your convenient space. It makes you take a step that you normally wouldn't take. So that you should have at the back of your mind that when we're talking about honor, it's not just respect. It's not just, you know, there is always, there's this, I don't know whether it happens to you, but it happens to me. When you give a word, the first thing that goes to your mind is the dictionary interpretation. And the dictionary interpretation of honor is respect. So you want to just respect people. So when somebody is talking to you, you really do not check yourself whether, do I really honor people? One of the challenges I had was I grew up with the knowledge of honoring mainly the elder ones. So as you were growing up, you were expecting other people to also honor you. So when they do certain things to you, you'll be wondering, you are supposed to honor me. This is not working well. But look at this scripture. For God so loved the world, he was senior. Then he comes to die for junior. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. So honor is not just above. Honor is below. In fact, it is greater when you are able to honor a junior person. It's greater. It's easy to honor somebody who's ahead of you, technically. So you just give the person, after all, he's the one that, like if he's your boss, you have to honor him because no pay is coming at the end of the day. All right? So if he's your senior brother, you have to honor him so that they can give you something, a gunje, when things are, you understand? So it's easy because you know there's something you're going to get. Sometimes when you're honoring people who are below you, there's really nothing you're going to get. So this is what Jesus did for us through God the Father. So today I'm going to be showing you something, what I've titled as Honor Creates Life. And the life is not just breath of life. Is a continuity of an experience. A continuity of an experience that God wants us to perpetuate here on earth till he comes. A continuity of an experience. If you look at today's world, it's not normal that, especially in this part of the world, Niger Delta, it's not normal for us to honor those above us. In fact, freedom of speech now on Facebook allows you to say a lot of things to people that are, unquote, your leaders. And nobody's going to hold anything against you. So because of that, we don't get the experience that God wants us to get. We don't receive inheritance from our elders because of that. If you notice very well, people are saying the youth should be given a chance, you should be given a chance to take up rulership. But the way the youths are speaking is not showing any form of honor. The way they are behaving is not showing any form of honor. So who is now going to give you inheritance? So God is saying, when we can practice honor both up and down, we can have an experience of life. Are you getting my picture now? So I'm not just talking about life as in like the one you know. So the foundation for honor is love. And it is expressed in our giving, just as God gave Jesus Christ to us. The foundation for it is love. So if you're really going to express love, sorry, if you're really going to express honor, then you should ask yourself, how much love is abounding on my inside? I listened to Reverend, and there's a way he put something. He said, are you willing to honor someone? I'm putting my own words now. But are you willing to honor someone when it doesn't even look like you should honor the person? The person doesn't have any semblance for honor. Will you still be willing to honor the person? Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. There was no reason. He could have created another set of human beings. But there was something he felt about us. He saw that there was value. You know, for you to honor someone, you understand that that person carries value. So, and sometimes it's difficult to see it when the physical does not show it. Hello? For instance, you have a child. Maybe your child is not so intelligent as you think. And then you're not comparing your child with other children. You're not really honoring that child. Because you don't see the value in the child. So when instead of you to try and tell the child, okay, I know this is what is happening, but I believe you are bigger than this, you use words like, you know the shame. See your other person. You know that's how we... So you feel you're actually helping the child. You're not helping the child. You are creating more problem for that child. Because he can no longer see value in himself. So what he will say is, they are saying I'm not ashamed, so let me just even be moving with shame. Am I making sense to you at all? So this is, it has to be, you have to love to see the value that's in somebody else. You love without, and you're seeing that there's something about this person that he carries. So based on that, I will begin to say certain things about him. I will begin to give him certain things. Praise God. I'm sure you might be asking yourself, so how, Pastor, how do we go about this? My topic today is how to cultivate a lifestyle of honor. Oh, sorry. The continuation of what I said, how do you now cultivate that lifestyle of honor? How do you make it to happen? I've told you that honor brings life. How do you make it happen? Because when you're talking about culture, it takes time. I've been racking my head to try and remove some of the things I knew while growing up. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. You know, when you were growing up, there were a lot of things that were, it was easy for you to say. Like, Ogun Agbe. Sorry, it's not more to you. No, we grew up with those kind of statements. Hello. I didn't say I'm saying it. I'm just saying that. So don't help me out here. So it was easy. So those are things that your words have not been fashioned to give honor. It's just fashioned to give dishonor. So you now have to now start removing certain things that are inside you so that you can actually give the honor the way God wants you to give it. And can I say something? Inside every believer is the ability to honor others. You can't be saying, that's what I be. This is who I am. This is what I am. So I can do anything. Can you imagine sometimes we are on you're on the street, you're taking a car, you're riding, and you get to the traffic light. And maybe just because your car didn't move on time. Somebody at the back is honing. Pa, 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 pa. And then when you just try to come out, you just... Are you not seeing? Is there something wrong with you? And then he says something, you two reply to him. Stupid. And you get my picture. And then you check yourself again to be sure that you're a Christian. Lezo go, bo, 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 bo. Leze, de. It's not honor. You're walking on the street. You've been told that naturally you're supposed to make sure that the street is clean. What complaining? They've done the road, like for instance, on my street, the road has been done, but you know, you have these, what do you call them, gutters. And then you have people now putting things on the inside of it. And you're complaining. People are like, this is bad. Why should people be doing this? And then one day you're just going, you are drinking pure water. Sorry, sachet water. You know what I'm saying. Then as you're just drinking, somebody just call you. Hello, hello. Ah, hey, Jimokeana. Yeah. Okay, what's up? What's up? Okay, I will see you later. And then you drop it. And then as you're going, you remember Reverend Ben's message. And you say, Reverend Ben is not here. That's the message. No, what you've just done is that you've dishonored whatever those people that were doing, that built that gutter. You've told them that you don't need the gutter. You've dishonored them. So in our practice, we dishonor people sometimes. In our practice, we even dishonor the land. So there are various. That's why I said, when we're talking about this love, for God so loved the world. It's not just people. He loved the world. He loved what he had created. So he sent his son so that we can change our value system. For me, I think when you give your life to Christ, it's not just about going to heaven. It's about a change of value system. There's a way we operate that God is now saying, no, don't operate like that. You need to change your value system. And when we express that value system, we are honoring others. So how do we cultivate this lifestyle of honor? The first thing is that we need to see people as God sees them. We need to be able to look at them through the eyes of God. And I must tell you, this is extremely challenging. Pastor was teaching us that some time back, and she said, I think what we do more is to try and work on the behavior of people, not on the beliefs. And what do I mean by the behavior? I just gave you an example. A child comes back home, he's not doing well in class. What you now start to treat is his behavior. You say, you don't do this, you don't do that. What you're supposed to treat is his belief, because it is his belief that is making me behave that way. So it means you need to rearrange how you program him for learning and give him a different set of things so that he will now operate in a different way. I'll give you an example. I had this teacher, I've said it before, who felt I was an unserious person. It was a maths class. And I sat down there, having listened to Quadrat Demonstratum, if you guys remember anything like that. It's something in maths. And then at the end of the day, the teacher looked at me and said, any questions? And I was confident for the first time to ask questions. And he looked at me and he said, if you don't understand, you're a fool. I mean, that was the height. I was like, okay, no problem. Thank you. And I accepted it because he was my math teacher. And if he says I was a fool, you better be right. I am a fool. Then I ended up, you know, making sure that I was a fool. I failed the math exam, you know. So I now did another entrance, and you know, there was a new teacher that was recruited for us to learn. And the way the guy came into the room where we're teaching, just a few of us, and he was like coaching. And when he finished coaching, I was surprised because he was making a joke out of everything, trying to show us. I saw I was understanding, I understood very well. And I went into that exam hall entirely confident. When I was looking at the paper, I knew, you know, like when you're writing exams, you know that you can't fail this one. You are writing it, you know you can't fail. If I was helping other people inside the exam hall, carefully, that time I wasn't saved. So I'm not suggesting that you should be helping, but I was helping them. So I came out, and here is this fool who now passed an exam. It doesn't make sense. So it's the way you are. The second teacher made me believe it was possible to do it. The first teacher made me believe it was not possible. And he was looking at my behavior. I say, if you cannot understand it, then you are a fool. There's no need. Sometimes it takes a lot of patience to change people's beliefs. And you have to be honoring enough to sit down with them to get them to that place. So you need to, when we're talking about seeing people the way God sees them, it's challenging sometimes. I want to say this story. When the Bible says love your wife as Christ loved the church, it's another way, it's actually saying honor your wife the way Christ honors the church. And I've had challenges with my wife sometimes, and I would tell myself that, look, I'm the very correct person in this situation. And he calls me, you are the problem in this house. I say, I can't be the problem. Don't tell me I'm the problem. 1 + 1 = 2. Can't you see it? This is me and the Father discussing. And he says, okay, there's no problem. Let's check the scriptures very well. What does he say here? And I say, he says, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Uh-huh. So when I have a problem with you, how do I treat you? I say, you are Jesus now. He said, hey, that's the problem. What did I tell you to be? I said, be Jesus. So when we are saying, see people as God sees them, see them through the eyes of Jesus that loved us so much to die for us. See them. Now, it's challenging. I have somebody here, and I'm not saying it because it's here. Sometimes I wonder how Reverend does it. You know that this person is actually misbehaving. We are seeing it. A, B, C, D says, kick this guy out. And then he's still trying to love the person. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, though. But God has been helping us. We now understand. So you see people as God sees them. And I hope as I'm saying this, you're probably seeing some people you are not seeing as God sees them. Their examples don't show you any reason why you should see them as God sees them. Praise God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, Simon means reed. Shaky. Everybody knew him as Simon. So when he's misbehaving, they know he's reed. But check this out. Jesus did not see him as... Now I understand why Jesus was comfortable with being with him for 3 years. Because as far as Jesus was concerned, that's not Simon, that's Peter. Are you getting the picture now? He wasn't seeing, because your name describes you. So he wasn't seeing, he was seeing Peter. He was seeing that, and based on that, he was able to accommodate his excesses. Praise God. So you need to change some people's name around you. And really ask God, what is it? You know, that's the difficulty. For you to see someone the way God sees them, you have to be able to go before God to say, how do you see this person? In your workplace, in the marketplace, you know, some people who are your boss, it's difficult to see them, especially if the boss is on your neck every day. Someone told me about a lecturer who deliberately made sure they failed because they didn't get a particular book. And now they have a carryover. And then she says in her heart, every day they are cursing the man. Stupid lecturer. I say, are you with them? He said, yes, so I need to. I say, then you are not helping yourself. You are creating more problems for yourself. You need to be able to see them. I say, pastor, it's difficult. I didn't say it's easy. So I'm not telling you an easy road, but I'm telling you a road that can be, that is possible. What is not easy does not mean it's not possible. Don't confuse the two. Sometimes when something is not easy, we say it's not possible. No. That it's not easy does not mean it's not possible. And our God is the God of impossibilities. Praise the Lord. Just another scripture, just to buttress what I'm saying. So, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. The Bible says, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We shouldn't. He's telling us we can't. And this is a scripture that, based on the fact that you've translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear son, you now have new specs to see things differently. I love there's a scripture that we're giving recently. I think it's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says we have the mind of Christ, so we can see things the way God sees them and perceive things the way God perceives them. Praise the Lord. The next thing is that you have to speak to and about people the way the Father does. So one thing is to see, the other one is to speak, and they go together. You can't have one and not have the other. If you want to complete the honor triangle, if there's any word, I'm just putting that. If you want to complete the honor triangle, because there are three things I'm giving you here, you should not just see, but practice speaking. In 1 Peter 3:10, the Bible says, anyone who wants to see good days and live long should keep his mouth from deceit and guile. That means you should know how you talk. So it means if your talking is not in order, you're causing confusion, not only for that person, but also for yourself. So you need to now begin to practice it. Now, there's something I've learned over time. If we show you the word of God, we are not showing you so that you can have knowledge about it alone. It's for you to now warehouse it, which is understanding. And then at every point in time, being able to practice it, which is wisdom. Because some of us stop at just, we know it. So when you see something, say, I know it. But that you know it, you are seeing that there are certain things that are not happening because you are not warehousing it. So it's your job to warehouse it. Let me just quickly give you the scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is really nobody who has not come short of the glory of God. And the goal of Jesus was to bring us back to that glory. So when we measure others, we tend to forget that someone is also measuring us. We just want to say what's the standard for measurement? I'm telling you, this person is. I was listening to a message from the house here, and Reverend was saying something. He said that they traveled somewhere, and he was telling them that, can't you see the way these people have a culture here? You ask about this person, and they say, whoa, awesome guy. You ask about that, they say, oh, nice guy. That you never hear them saying, he's a nice guy, but... You know, here, if we have not put salt and pepper inside the story, it's not sweet. He said, but I'm telling the truth. Now, no, you're not telling the truth. You're telling the fact. Yeah. A fact is okay, but it is not higher than the truth. Yes. And as believers, we are not expected to say the fact. We are supposed to say the truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, for all I've seen and come short of God, so you don't measure, you have to measure based on God. I just put these two scriptures. Read one first, then the other one. So, follow the way of love. Remember what I said, that love is the foundation for honor. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, the question is, what is prophecy? Prophecy is simply just but bringing strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So when you are speaking to and about someone to others, and you are saying it the way God wants you to say it, it brings strengthening, it brings encouragement, it brings comfort. So you are actually, in want of better words, you are building the blocks for that person to go higher. You're building the block for that person to take more strides in life. Because listen, if you say something that's contrary, look at it, you're not strengthening the person. You are not encouraging. That opposite of encouragement is discouragement. And opposite of comfort is discomfort. So your speaking can make someone, is it discomfortable? So you can also discourage somebody. And you can also make somebody weak. So you choose how you're doing something. And this is what we say. Sometimes we say about ourselves, about our nation. You know, I was telling somebody, who said that we are underdeveloped? You know what they say? Nigeria is an underdeveloped country. Haven't you heard that before? You know, Africa, they are underdeveloped. Then you have the developed. When I say you're underdeveloped, I have what? Stereotyped you. That is, you can't go beyond that. And it happens to us when we, you know, in our thinking, I'm a Nigerian, I'm underdeveloped. I'm underdeveloped. I'm serious, this is bad, very bad. And they are helping us in every way to make that happen. I was watching these days, when I watch, if I'm watching a movie, I watch it through the eyes of scripture. I'm telling you. Now, I was watching a movie, and they said something. They got to a place. They said, the Nigerian gangster. I was first feeling excited. They're even calling our name. Say every time we're calling. So at one point, I believe it was the spirit that stopped me. Say, watch. Have you noticed that all the films you have watched that has Nigeria inside, it is only bad that they are talking about? I was feeling excited. I even used to tell them, I say, they call us. We are in the movie. We are the best in Africa. But it was not. Then he now reminded me, in the 90s, you had Italian gangster. I don't know why you, the mafias. What they were doing to you at that point in time, where they were telling you that these are how the Italians are. So they are speaking and prophesying to you, and before you know that, you are accepting that that's who we are. And I told myself, this is bad. And the only way we can change that narrative is to bring out a storyline that projects us in a different light. You are not underdeveloped. We are not underdeveloped. So you cannot say, one developed, we are underdeveloped. Praise God. So I just said that on the aside so you can picture it. So, The goal of salvation is to reestablish the glory of God to man. As we see and prophetically declare this in the lives of people, we honor and bring them back to that safe place of glory. That's the goal. So Jesus didn't come just that you will go to heaven. Jesus came so that we can rearrange the minds of people so that they can operate the way they are supposed to operate. You didn't hear what I said. Because when you are doing this, you're making people see who they are. Look at it now. That's the goal. Soteria. Re-establish the glory. So all have seen and conscious of the glory of God. So if I see people and then I speak to people the way God wants me to speak to and about them, what I'm doing is that I'm bringing them to that place of glory. Why are we looking in the mirror? I was listening to Pastor Peter's message on honor. Why are we looking in the mirror? He said, when you see, look in the mirror is somebody else that you're looking at. And you say it, you're bringing that person to that place of his supposed glory. All right. So, this is the last one. We're looking at how we cultivate. The first one I said was what? See people as God sees them. The second one was just speak the way God wants to. And then the other one is honor people with your giftings. I got this as I was studying. Look at this scripture. Romans 12, 5 to 8. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that he has given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now look at this. As I was reading this scripture, it showed me a picture of, he said, when you want to, maybe someone has been doing so much service and doing well and all that. When the university wants to honor someone, what they do is that they call the person up, they honor, and they give the person what? Maybe a plaque for what he has done. There's some show. They give out something. Something is giving out. You can't really honor without giving something. Something leaves you. Something goes. So you are seeing, your prophesying, you're also giving every opportunity to make the person a better person with what you have as a gift. For instance, when we are taught here, it's because we are honored. That's why we are taught the right thing. There are places where people don't honor the people, they teach them anything they like, so they can eat grass. Sorry, sir. It's what we saw. Or they can just take Coke and Fanta and just put it on your leg. Praise God. So for God, so this is God now. That it was his gift to us. I've read the scripture again, but I'm just reading it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he gave. Because he honors you. So you cannot appreciate that there's something special about you. He took his best gift and gave it to you. So you need to use your best gift to give it to Nigeria. You need to use your best gift to give your neighbor. That's how you turn things around. So you can't say, I don't have what it takes to honor people. You have. You have. So it now dawns on you to improve on yourself so you can give your best to others. That's why we are told that the gift that we have is not to bring some money to us, is to help other people. Are you making, am I making myself clear? So these three things are important. If you have them and you constantly, because it's not just hearing them, it's going back to, first of all, discover the areas that you're lacking in. I believe that maybe as we're talking, you were seeing some things that God was showing you, this is what you need to work on. And then determine yourself that I will walk in this pattern. And I'm telling you, if you honor people, like Reverend will say, even though they dishonor you, you may not get honor from them, but because you are honorable, God will always bring honor towards you. You may not get from the person whose you are honoring. Maybe you say, you know, some people stop doing this because they feel that I've been honoring people since. Where is now my own honor? Hello? Because we say, why should we practice it when people do not? But when you're honoring, you are actually sowing. And you may sow in a place where you may not seemingly reap. But whatever you sow, you will surely reap. Hallelujah. I just wanted to share these three points. Because I believe that today God is doing a restructuring. Actually a surgery in your heart that will begin to adjust the way you do the things that you do. I feel we should just stand on our feet and worship him a little bit. And let's receive whatever things that he's dropping on us miraculously this evening. Song that is dropping in my heart is interesting, but I will sing it. We are grateful, oh Lord, hallelujah. And we are grateful, and oh Lord, hallelujah, for all you have done for us. Oh, hallelujah, and we are grateful. Oh, Lord. I just sensed that, as I was worshiping God, but this is what came to my mind. Someone is being delivered from fear. And I mean by, I saw something like a gunshot, I can't put my hands to it, but I believe that God is pulling you out from that place of fear. And that has kept you from doing the things, certain things you're not launching out as you want to. But I feel it has to do with something that happened, but I feel God is pulling you out from that fear. Let's just worship him, give him praise. And we are grateful, and we are grateful, and oh Lord, we are grateful, and we are grateful, oh Lord, for all you have done, and oh Lord, hallelujah, we are grateful, and oh
thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.